I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We're seeing what's left of Israeli communities. We see floors that are drenched in Israeli blood. We see houses riddled with bullet shots. And we know that in almost every house that there were Israelis, they holed up, they hid inside houses, and they were hunted down by Palestinian terrorists. In some cases, they were able to defend themselves and fight back. But in so many cases, they were slaughtered or taken into Gaza.
Yeah.
And the severity, the unprecedented severity, just last word, unprecedented severity of the assault will dictate that this will be an unprecedented response by Israel against Hamas.
And it should be. You were listening then to the IDF Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Conresus talking about, as they were going door to door looking for Hamas, that had already invaded various territories along the Gaza Strip, actually inside Jewish territory, but had gone across the Gaza Strip and the buffer zone and into Israel and started slaughtering innocents, kidnapping, torturing, raping, and Americans were in the midst of them. There were Americans killed. We know that for sure. How many? We're not sure. And we also know this. Even as Americans were announced as among those being confirmed, killed, or taken hostage, the Biden White House was in the midst of hosting a barbecue for the White House executive residence staff and families. There is more evidence of how clueless this administration is and why our enemies are emboldened. Thank you for joining us. This is hour number two of Larry Connors USA. If you missed the first hour, remember you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull up either the audio and our video. We do stream video at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. I encourage you to not only watch, but share with others and let them know what is happening. Israel's acknowledged that it has mobilized 300,000 reservists within 48 hours. That is normally fewer than 200,000 on active duty, so they expanded it by more than 150%. That means about 5% of the Israeli population is currently deployed at war. And it all happened because of what happened over the weekend as Hamas terrorists crossed from the Gaza Strip through the buffer zone, in some cases even using various modes to break through, cut through fence, and also gliders to get inside Jewish territory, attacking those at a beach party. We're only there to enjoy and have music and a peaceful time. And yet they were among the ones also slaughtered. Again, Lieutenant Colonel Conresus.
The events of the last 40 hours are unprecedented in their severity, in the barbarity of the violence displayed against our civilians, in the atrocities that have been done by these Hamas monsters coming across our border, and the fact that there are dozens, sadly, of Israelis that are today in the hands of a terrorist organization, men, women, children, infants, elderly people, and even disabled people, the fact that they are in the hands of a terrorist organization, it puts us in a situation which is uncharted territory. It is the darkest day in our history. Never before have so many Israelis been killed by anything, and let alone enemy activity or terrorists, in one single day.
And it came one day to the 50-year mark of the Yom Kippur War. and it followed a high holy days. And some believe that maybe Israel got a little lax and did not continue to be focused on security. We're going to get into that in more detail. But based upon what you were hearing the Lieutenant Colonel point out, those being held hostage are not just Jews. There are Americans that are known to be held hostage. And Hamas has said it will start executing and videotaping those executions. Scores of Israelis living overseas have now flown home in the past few days, many simply volunteering to join units heading to war at that time. Israelis not deployed or volunteering in every capacity, donating blood, collecting food, supplies for the troops, filling in at jobs as deployed reservists moved to the front. But all of this can be traced back, according to a Wall Street Journal report that has documented sources and yet not fully unveiling them, that Iran had a part in this. And Iran, if you recall, just was told by this administration, we were going to unfreeze $6 billion for your country, for humanitarian use only. And the moment it was announced it was being unfrozen, the leaders and Iran said, we will do with it as we want. It is our money. And the White House defense at this time is, none of that money has even been distributed. You cannot say that contributed to it. As I pointed out in the first hour, are you telling me you do not think the Iranian terrorists are not capable of laundering money any better than the Biden family has been doing? Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton says, clearly, Iran is behind what happened.
Well, Hamas and Hezbollah and other terrorist groups in the Middle East are proxies of Iran. And an operation of the complexity of scale yesterday could not have happened in almost all likelihood without Iranian approval and probably Iranian involvement in planning. But as we look forward about what President Biden should do relative to Israel, we should also think about what he's done relative to Iran and what he needs to do now. For 3 years, the president has appeased Iran, the world's worst state sponsor of terrorism. It's not just the $6 billion that was released from sanctions controls last month. It's $10 billion that was released from Iraq into Iran. It's looking the other way on more than 80 attacks against American troops in the Middle East, or allowing Iran to threaten shipping in the Persian Gulf, allowing Iran without serious consequence to arm Russia to kill more Ukrainians, releasing hundreds of millions of dollars to the Palestinian Authority since the very beginning of this administration. These are all acts of appeasement, concessions, and weakness that embolden the leaders in Tehran as well as Hamas to believe that they could launch this brazen, savage attack against Israel.
Escalating reasons as to why we can do what the hell we want. The Biden administration is of no concern to us. And retired Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer said, Iran's part is also documented in so many ways.
But this was stimulated, funded, coordinated, and encouraged, if not directed, by the Iranians. The Hezbollah folks right now are now looking to come in if they potentially can. I think they know there would be a downside if they come in from Lebanon. I think there's going to be Lebanese targets struck because I think some of the weapons that are going to come, that's been used against the Israelis, probably came through there. So I think the international community, if they want to do anything, has to focus on the Iranian aspect of this. And it's very clear that the mullahs are attempting right now to do more destabilization of the region.
And to follow up on what Schaefer was saying, there is concern about an attack from Lebanon. And obviously weapons might have flowed through Lebanon to Hamas. Again, Arkansas Senator Cotton on what needs to be done now.
There's no question that the Israeli Defense Forces can destroy Hamas inside the Gaza Strip, but they need the freedom of action and time to destroy Hamas. That takes the form of American military, diplomatic, and political support. The military support may require resupply of things like interceptors for their missile defense systems, or artillery shells, rockets, missiles, small arms ammunition. It may take more intangible forms of support, like mission planning for what will be very complex urban operations or intelligence support as well. In addition to that military support, the United States needs to provide diplomatic and political support. Again, it's nice to see European leaders lighting up their national legislatures with the Israeli flag, but when Hamas starts trotting out dead bodies of civilian casualties caused by Hamas's use of civilians as human shields in the days ahead, and European leaders and the United Nations and liberals in the Democratic Party start pressuring President Biden to demand a ceasefire, or demand that Israel withdraw, it's essential that President Biden not give an inch, that he give Israel the time and the freedom of action it needs to destroy Hamas. Again, if President Biden can stand with Ukraine for as long as it takes, I hope President Biden can stand with Israel for as long as it takes.
Amen, amen, amen. Senator Cotton saying, stand with Israel as long as it takes. Do not call for them to back down. Let them complete their mission, destroying Hamas. Of course, the other question that is right in front of us, with Israel's tight security known worldwide, how did this come as a surprise?
What Hamas did, what their leadership did, was apparently they moved off of the normal modern communications links that we take for granted every day and went back to what you did in the 19th century, face-to-face meetings. They went and used couriers instead of going in and using the telephone or the cell phone. And that, I think, played a large role in doing this. They seem to be very patient, Hamas, in terms of how they planned this, how they carried it out. And it really, I think, takes us back to a point where we have to look at the fact that technological intelligence is not always the end-all and be-all that we've gotten used to from an intelligence perspective.
That's an excellent point raised by retired Air Force Colonel Cedric Layton. They've gone back to simply face-to-face. They know we can intercept calls, hack into their systems, so they don't use any of that. And they plot and they plan. And according to the Wall Street Journal report, Iran has been helping them, the Iranian Revolutionary Forces, helping them plot and plan to do this and even carry out some exercises. Fred Flights, we often have on here, 25 years in knowing Central Intel information, says it's not just the failure in Israel.
It was an American intelligence failure, too, but it was an Israeli intelligence failure because of the intense surveillance Israel has of the Gaza Strip, of the human sources they have on the ground. There obviously was incredible communication security. I think a large number of the people engaged in this fight were not told about it until the last minute because there were no leaks. The Israeli government didn't know what was coming. But another problem here is I think the Israeli government was prepared to use technical means to intercept missiles. They didn't anticipate a massive run against border posts. They really were taken off guard, not just by the operational security, but by an attack they had not anticipated.
They did not anticipate. They did rely more on technological advances than basic human intel. That is a caution, a large caution light for all of the free world. You've got to have people in place to get you some of the intel. And then you also have to acknowledge what intel agencies and those who try to protect their nations and their people certainly know. They have to be right each and every time.
Well, I think it's an important opportunity for American citizens just to understand that when they go to sleep at night, intelligence professionals are hard at work. And if you never hear about an attack on United States territory, it's not because somebody didn't plan it. It's because we stopped it. And that happens on a very all too regular basis. Our House and Senate intelligence oversight committees track that very carefully. But because of the sensitivity of the sensitive source reporting that we have and the signals intelligence and overhead reconnaissance, it often doesn't make its way to the newspapers. But when we've got an intelligence failure like this one in Israel, it does. And I think it just it emphasizes for all of us here in the United States how fortunate we are to have such a dedicated group of professionals in the U.S. military and the intelligence community working day and night to keep us safe.
That is former CIA Station Chief Dan Hoffman. And again, reemphasizing, they have to be right every time. The terrorists have to be right only once, and they have their victory, or at least they have casualties that they can claim. Even as I'm speaking to you, it's possible that many of those who were taken hostage by Hamas, taken into the Gaza Strip, are being executed, or have been, or undergoing various forms of torture. These are civilians, not Israeli Defense Forces. These are civilians. Remember, they were paragliding into a beach where they were having a music rave party. Nothing but music and peace. And they showed up, and according to video that's been released, many of those at that festival were shot at point-blank range, right on top of them. Others running, trying to get into cars that were locked, trying to go anywhere and get away from the invading forces. Hamas using paragliders to get into some areas, cutting through the defense that surrounds the buffer zone between Israel and Gaza, and invading into communities, going home to home, finding, killing, or kidnapping, and often videotaping. In one case, one of the brave, and I use that term laughingly, brave Hamas terrorist in full mask and garb and automatic weapon has two women in a room, one looking sick, near death, laying in a bed, and near her on the ground is another one, maybe pleading for her life. That makes them feel brave. But here's the other issue. Could it happen here? Yes, Congresswoman Green points out, yes, very possibly.
What happened to Israel could happen to America, because our country has been invaded by millions of people from over 160 countries. And we've been invaded by people we don't even know where there are. There are so many gotaways. The Biden administration cannot keep up with them. And they're all over the streets, all over the entire country. And so what we're seeing in Israel could happen to the United States of America. And it'd be foolish to ever think that that's not possible.
Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. It's all because of Biden's open border policy. Before this hour is over, a U.S. Senate delegation led by Chuck Schumer is in China meeting with the premier of China. And he kowtows to the premier, but he does deliver some words of some rebuke. Is there any value to it? Up next, a guest that backs up Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, and of course other Americans fearing that terrorists are inside our country already due to the Biden open door policy. They're just waiting on a signal. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444. 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. My guest is Sean Fleetwood with The Federalist. And he points out something that I often refer to as turn signal politics. As in, it's on, it's off, it's on, it's off. And in this case, Biden, Mayorkas, confusion on the border wall. Against it, and now for it, and suddenly against it again. Where do they lie with their lies? And what is fact and what is fiction? Sean Fleetwood, welcome aboard.
Good to be back. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, just the other day, it appeared Biden was saying, yes, we need a border wall. I'm going to clear all the regulations, make it happen. And Mayorkas was up there with him, and then all of a sudden, they do an about-face. What happened?
Yeah, so the Department of Homeland Security put out this memo, I guess, last week, essentially announcing that they were planning to rebuild a portion of the border wall in the Rio Grande Valley part of Texas. And, of course, it was like around 17 miles or so. And, of course, this drew outcry from, you know, radical leftist Democrats who are perfectly fine with allowing our border to be wide open. But what was even more noticeable is a lot of, you know, your typical Democrat politicians that, you know, were so avidly against the wall when Trump was president had very little to say about it. I mean, you see people like Nancy Pelosi when she, was negotiating with President Trump back in 2019 over the government shutdown over the wall and border security. She called the wall an immorality. And then you have people like Bernie Sanders and Karine Jean-Pierre and all these other Democrats out there calling it bigoted and racist and xenophobic. But, you know, now that Biden's apparently rebuilding part of the wall, they have nothing to say about it.
Well, now let's get it clear. Are they rebuilding that portion or not? Because Mayorkas almost seemed to contradict him. As I said, turn signal politics the next day. It's on, it's off, it's on, it's off.
Yeah, I mean, we honestly don't know what they're going to do because, as you said, Mayorkas came out the very next day and was like, our policy on the wall hasn't changed. We know that Biden pledged when he was a presidential candidate that, you know, not more than one more inch or foot of wall would be built under his administration, and then they put out this guidance. So really it's up in the air. We actually have no idea what they're actually going to ultimately do about it. At the end of the day, I don't think, unfortunately, it's going to do a whole lot, just because of the immigration policies of this administration, which is to let anybody and everybody into the country, process as many illegal immigrants as we can, bring them into the interior of the country. And then, of course, that doesn't even include the hundreds of thousands of gotaways that Customs and Border Patrol don't apprehend.
All right.
Unfortunately, I don't think it's...
Go ahead. Here we are going. And let's put that against the context of what happened in Israel over the weekend. And they had a border security that obviously the terrorists cut through or used other ways to get over or around. And do you think some of those same Democrats, Senator Cory Booker was one of those in Jerusalem when the rockets started falling, you think now maybe they're thinking, yeah, we do need to protect ourselves, but how many do we already have inside the country?
Yeah, that's a great question. Last fiscal year for 2022, Border Patrol apprehended a record number of individuals on the suspected terrorist watch list. I believe it was 98, close to 100. And again, those are just the people that we catch. We don't even know the ones that come through that we don't apprehend, or, you know, Border Patrol don't have the resources to encounter them because they're busy processing these migrants. You know, will this ultimately change Democrats' tune on how they see U.S. immigration given what's happening in Israel? I don't think so, unfortunately. The Biden administration, their policy towards Israel, Iran has been atrocious. I wouldn't expect what's happening over there to impact their domestic policy at all, especially given that President Biden has called a lid before noon, both today and yesterday. It's just despicable what's happening there. And what's even more despicable is that the leader, supposed leader of the free world, is nowhere to be found during this crisis.
Well, you do have, of course, blue city mayors and governors saying, you know, how atrocious that was, if those who are not part of the squad, as to what happened in Israel, and also complaining about the flood of illegals, although they call them migrants in their communities. They tried to open up a new center in Chicago for the immigrants, illegals, and the residents of the neighborhood raised up and said, we're not being taken care of, and now you want to open a center and give food and supplies to people who are not even Americans. Even in deep blue Chicago, they're railing against this open border policy. And we have yet to have that actual terrorist attack, which is coming.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think you're right about that. Democrats in these blue cities, it's ironic because these are a lot of cities, places like New York, that declared themselves sanctuary cities for illegal immigrants. And now that they actually have to deal with the reality of their policies, they're suddenly so against it. I don't think, unfortunately, a lot of Democrats are going to be changing their tune on this issue until they start paying for it at the ballot box, until the people of these cities throw out a lot of these incumbents who put these policies in places, and then you have sanctuary states like Massachusetts and others that have declared their whole state, sanctuaries for illegal immigrants, and now the governor of Massachusetts declared a state of emergency recently over the issue. So until people, these Democrats, actually start paying for it at the ballot box, I don't think we're going to see any major changes, specifically like in the national policy of the Biden administration. I don't think you're going to see any changes. And I think it's worth pointing out that, you know, the ultimate end game for the Biden administration, I think, and this is something that Democrats have openly admitted through the years, is that they're looking to change the voting demographics of America. They want to import a lot of these illegal immigrants into the United States, hoping that they will pull the lever for the Democrat Party. And even if these illegal immigrants who are coming in right now aren't getting citizenship, they're going to have children who are going to be born here. And they're hoping that those voters or those individuals will ultimately grow up and pull the lever for the Democrat Party. So, you know, I think it shows kind of the dynamic or the contrast between Republicans and Democrats, where Republicans are always focused on the next election, whereas Democrats are always focused on the next generation.
But there's a divide.
Win in the long term.
There's a divide. You're listening to Sean Fleetwood with Federalist. There's a divide underway inside the Democrat ranks because of the Hamas terrorist attacks. A pro-Palestinian rally Sunday in Times Square included the Democrat Socialist of America. And numerous prominent party members kind of got caught up in the fact that they had to respond. Governor Hochul and other leading Democrats blasted the rally as abhorrent, morally repugnant. New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Jamal Bowman denounced the attacks on Israel, called for a ceasefire, but wouldn't take a stand on the rally. So they cannot even decide if they are for or against terrorist actions against innocents, and yet they don't care what happens to this country.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the Democrats, they're out there condemning this now, but they've been coddling these types of people in their party for years. This isn't like a new problem. This has been festering for years, and they have absolutely refused to condemn it. They've allowed anti-Semites like Rashida Tlaib, like Ilhan Omar, to occupy a congressional seat in the seats of in the halls of Congress. They've refused to censure them over these types of remarks. So the idea that they're suddenly so concerned about these rallies and the anti-Semitism that's becoming much more rampant throughout the far left wing of the Democrat Party is just nonsense. They have completely allowed this to grow with inside the Democrat ranks for years. And now that you know, the actual anti-Semitism is having consequences in places like Israel, and that we're seeing rallies like this pop up in America, you know, they have no ground to stand on because they're the ones who have been pushing this and allowing this to happen for years on end.
You nailed it. And to that point, a Hudson Valley GOP representative, Mike Lawyer, who has a large Jewish population in his district, asked AOC, do you agree with these lunatics? Yesterday's terrorist attack perpetuated by Hamas, sponsored by Iran, is the fault of Israel. And then another Bronx representative, Richie Torres, stated, there is a special place in hell for those who glorify the cold-blooded murder of civilians and children. And what we get from the squad? Pretty much, can we just have a ceasefire and everybody go back to their sides?
Yeah, and something I think is worth pointing out. You know, the Biden administration, people like Anthony Blinken, he put out this tweet. You know, essentially encouraging Turkey to push for a ceasefire.
Right.
The office, U.S. Office of Palestinian Affairs, put out a tweet, you know, encouraging a ceasefire on both sides to restrain from violence. And whatever your position is on Ukraine, it's so noticeable how they call for Israel to lay down their arms and to negotiate with these terrorists. But when it comes to Ukraine and Russia, they keep telling Ukraine, you know, keep on fighting, keep on pushing. Why is it that there's such a double standard for Israel? It's because it's the third administration of Barack Obama. This anti-Israel sentiment, this pro-Iranian sentiment that has been grown, that grew throughout the Obama years, that has grown throughout the Democrat Party through people like AOC and the squad, that is very antagonistic towards Israel. And that's what you're seeing come to fruition here with the Biden administration. They have so entrenched in their ranks people who are so against Israel that they are absolutely refusing to forwardly condemn this violence in a way that is sufficient. And even more so, they're refusing to actually put forward policies and actions and foreign policy that actually empowers Israel, our greatest ally in the Middle East, against these countries and these groups that have been trying to destroy them for decades since their founding.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, they don't have the courage to stand on conviction, and they hide in the shadows. And they urge things and create events. They do not take a stand. And right now, they're jeopardizing this nation. Last 20 seconds to you, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say that, you know, continue to pray for Israel. Again, they are our greatest ally in the Middle East. They're one of our greatest allies, period. And what's happening in that country is absolutely devastating. And, you know, the power of God is great, and I hope and pray that he will protect them and their people in this very difficult time.
Thank you very much. Sean Fleetwood with The Federalist. Also, you should know that the United Arab Emirates is siding with Israel and condemning Hamas. They can do it, and we've got Democrats in this nation that won't and will not actually hold Israel to its account. We do have a report from the Wall Street Journal that points out how much Iran was involved in the planning. And we've got Senator Chuck Schumer showing up in China. That's still to come. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnersUSA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, Larry.Homesteadfinancial.com. Larry.Homesteadfinancial.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
If this report that just broke in the Wall Street Journal is correct, and it is sourced to inside sources from Hezbollah and Hamas, that the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps was the mastermind behind this attack and green-lighted it in a meeting in Beirut last Monday, how does that change this whole situation?
If it's true, it does change the situation, but I do not yet know that it is. Specifically, if Iranian officials indeed presided over and green-lighted this horrible, gruesome attack that Hamas instigated yesterday. What is clear, however, to everybody involved in looking at the Middle East, is that Iran is indeed the world's largest supporter of terrorism. And it is also clear that it supports, funds, and provides weapons and training for various terrorist organizations along our borders. So whether or not they were specifically involved in planning this horrible attack, it is clear that had it not been for Iranian support, money, funds, training, and political guidance, Hamas would never have been able to execute this horrendous attack.
Those are the words of Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Coricius, who is with the IDF of Israel, the Israeli Defense Forces, talking about a Wall Street Journal article that came out shortly after the Hamas surprise attack on Israel, linking Iran to greenlighting, funding, and even helping Hamas prepare for the attack. I had a discussion with Fred Flights we've had on the air numerous times before. Fred is with the America First Policy Center, 25 years inside national intel organizations. He said if that can be fully documented, it might open the door for Israel to also turn and go after Iran. If that happens,
if that happens, we are into another world war. Whether or not they do it in full sight or by clandestine means. In the meantime, we have Senator Chuck Schumer leading a bipartisan group of senators to China. This was planned and announced last week before the weekend terrorist attack. But, of course, while in China, the obvious issue is what is being done. Well, Gordon G. Chang, we often have on here as an expert on China, said, you're hearing China call for peace, and there's a reason they want to see Israel back down.
Well, of course, China is going to ask both sides to exercise restraint because Hamas is engaged in this brutality. The rape is just horrific, and China won't condemn it. China won't condemn it because I believe it's supporting Hamas's attack. Remember, Hamas is a proxy of Iran. Iran, in many respects, is a proxy of China. China fuels Iran. It's Chinese money that is supporting this war and on the Hamas side. And I think we're going to find eventually Chinese arms will have been used by Hamas, although that has not yet surfaced. So we are seeing China's full-on support for this. And what we should be hearing from Beijing as well as Washington is, look, that Hamas needs to pull back, it needs to stop, and it needs to be punished for this brutality.
That's what we should be hearing, but we're not. And he mentioned arms from China. There's no doubt weapons left behind in Afghanistan when we withdrew, as we did, will also be showing up in the battle against Israel. U.S. weapons used against Israeli citizens and possibly American citizens who were caught in Israel over that weekend. The other point Gordon G. Chang points out, the value of the Senate delegation, even though it was not planned to be discussing Iran, Israel, and the terrorist attack, they were going to be basically looking to broker a wider, broad arrangement of understanding. But Gordon G. Chang points out, this is a failure all the way around.
The problem with this trip is a fundamental one, and that is that China is putting itself on a war footing. It is preparing to go to war. The Senate should be in session of passing critical legislation to get the United States ready to go to war. So these senators should be in Washington making sure that we can defend ourselves, our friends and allies. Nothing's going to get done on this trip. And by the way, I don't like the image that China tweeted out of this, and that was Schumer in a half bow to Xi Jinping. That's the image the Chinese people are going to see. That's the image that much of the world is going to see. I don't know what it is for Americans, but they just can't help but showing that they are supine when they meet the Chinese leader.
He's exactly right, and I'm glad he pointed it out. There is video of Chuck Schumer meeting Premier Xi. Now, as the video moves along, it's very almost unnoticed that Schumer drops his head and his eyes as he greets the premier. This is not the way for an American to act to a communist leader. You look him straight in the eye, you grasp his hand firmly, and you make it clear that you're there to do business and you need to be listened to. We will have to give Schumer some credit because he did later denounce China for not being stronger in its language and denouncing Hamas. In fact, had no language denouncing Hamas, and at the same time calling for a ceasefire, and Schumer called them to account, but not to the premier's face. And then he's off to his rest of his delegation trip. We had a U.S. senator inside Jerusalem when the attack began. What if he had been captured?
I am in Israel. About this time yesterday, I was jogging behind me in the old city when I got a urgent call from my chief of staff telling me to get back to the hotel as quickly as I could, that Israel was under attack. There were thousands of rockets being launched. When I got back to the hotel, I joined others in the bomb shelter or the stairwells of the hotel. Frightened faces. There were children and elderly families, many Americans. There was a sense of fear and worry and a knowledge to many of us that there were horrific things going on around the country at that time. Hundreds of people have been killed. Thousands of people have been wounded in a level of attacks at a scale that is staggering and really has not been seen in this country for over 50 years.
He was talking about in this country, in Jerusalem. The words of New York Senator Cory Booker. I'm glad that Senator Booker and his staff got safely out. But the tweet he put out and those words included, we also care about the innocent Palestinians and Jews. He mentions Palestinians before he does the Jewish people. And for that matter, Americans who were taken hostage and are slaughtered during the Hamas terrorist attack. In response to his tweet, Rabbi Shmuley posted something. He is, according to Newsweek and the Washington Post, the most famous rabbi in America, author of 31 books, broadcaster, and he wrote on his tweet, Cory Booker voted to give Iran $150 billion. I'm not talking about just the $60 billion recently, $6 billion recently released, but all of it over the period of time he's been in the Senate. Cory Booker voted to give Iran $150 billion, then he ran away today from Israel. Cory Booker, please stop bragging about how you endured rockets in Israel. You were my closest friend for 25 years. You were my student president at Oxford and my brother. Then you voted to give the Iranian terrorist monsters, who are largely responsible through Hamas for this attack, money to murder innocents, to preserve your political standing. And also, right after you did your special treatment, I'm sure you got on a plane, got out of the war zone. He said, it is time for you to come to the well of the Senate this floor of this week and condemn your own vote to give billions to Iran and by extension Hamas. Otherwise, we're not interested in your post. Words are cheap, Cory. Remember all the Torah we studied together? It's action that counts. The rabbi called him out. I'm glad he did. The Middle East has always been a tender box, but Trump, of course, got Arab nations and Israel to accept the Abraham Accord. And certainly, we didn't see what has happened on Biden's watch. And Florida Congressman Donald says, the world knows the difference between Trump and Biden.
I think how we arrived here is there is weakness in the White House. I've been calling Joe Biden the master of disaster, and this is one more disaster on his watch. And we have lost four United States embassies under Joe Biden's presidency. It doesn't get reported much, but those are the facts. These terrorists, when they see weakness, they push. They saw it in Afghanistan. Yeah. You see it in Ukraine with Vladimir Putin invading. And so you're going to sit here and tell me that Hamas isn't looking around saying, oh, well, maybe we could do something too? Weakness breeds this kind of stuff. I think the path forward is we have to support the Israeli Defense Forces. They must have total victory right now.
The words of Florida Congressman Byron Donalds. And yes, they need full victory. Now, many, of course, might not be that geographically understanding of the Israeli Middle East area. I say Middle East, we'll call it the Israeli East. You have the Gaza Strip. That is between Jerusalem, Israel, I should say, and a section of the Mediterranean Sea. There is a 30-plus mile buffer zone between the Gaza Strip and the Israeli defense line. Well, the Hamas terrorists crossed that territory, broke and cut through the fences, invaded by manpower, and also in some cases paragliding their way into Israeli territory, And the Israeli Defense Force was not prepared for that kind of action. They will be in the future, but right now they're trying to rescue and save as many as they can and destroy the Gaza Strip. The IDF did send out word to those living in the Gaza Strip. You have X number of hours to evacuate. Women and children, leave. They know that Hamas has numerous weapons hidden inside that area, and they plan on breaking it down to the ground. The Gaza Strip is something like 25 miles long, ranging from 4 to almost 8 miles wide. And in that one little area, there are something like 2 million Palestinians. That is the third most densely populated area in the world. The third most populated. And in the midst are Hamas. Palestinian PLO did run Gaza until Fatah took over, and then Fatah was defeated by Hamas, and now Hamas rules the Gaza Strip for now, until they don't. In the meantime, the Palestinians are in the West Bank area, and you've got Lebanon and Syria surrounding Israel, and all eyes have to be on every corner of Israel right now for an opportunity for another terrorist attack. But what we also have to contend with, are we actually going to see anything out of this administration truly support and back up the Israelis? Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas.
President Biden said yesterday that Israel has America's rock solid and unwavering support. And that's fine that he said that yesterday, but we have to be with them in the long run. There's a long history, especially with President Biden or President Obama before him, after 4, 7, 10, 14 days of Israeli operations against terrorist groups like Hamas and Hezbollah backed by Iran, of going wobbly, of demanding restraint, of seeking a ceasefire. We can't do that this time. President Biden often says that we're going to support Ukraine for as long as it takes. After yesterday's savage butchery in Israel, surely President Biden will also support Israel for as long as it takes to destroy Hamas.
But this administration is clueless. Look at the sense of timing of something. The White House National Security Council verified last night that multiple Americans have lost their lives. Multiple Americans. And at the same time, a memo, the President and First Lady are hosting a barbecue for White House executive resident staff and their families. Missouri Republican Senator Josh Hawley wrote, "While Hamas holds Americans hostage, Joe Biden is enjoying a picnic with a live band." One reporter wrote, read in large caps, "The President and the First Lady are hosting a barbecue right now with a live band for staff while a war breaks out in the Middle East where our own U.S. citizens have been killed," per a pool report. A pool report being sources inside Israel combining and saying, together we have confirmed Americans have been killed, and then even the White House National Security Council acknowledged that. We don't know how many Americans that were taken hostage will still be alive, if any. We don't even know where many of them are. We know by the video we've seen already, Hamas terrorists gleefully, jubilantly tearing into various homes along the Gaza Strip, inside Israeli territory, shooting, killing innocent children, women, the elderly, those unarmed, just because of their hatred for Israel. And Iran is applauding, and other nations sympathetic are at least preparing maybe their action. This is far from over. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.